Hey there, everybody. It is Tina Conrad, and I am here with a podcast, kind of like a podcast takeover. She is a very special guest. So we are going to share each other's podcasts, on our platform. So her name is Kaya Letha, and she is a very young cancer survivor, and she has her own podcast. And I really feel like our missions and our stories align in so many different ways. And she's been very vocal too about life after cancer. And so I'm just super excited to introduce you to her. So hello, Kaya, how are you?
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm good. How are you?
Good. And so you're obviously very familiar with podcasting. So love to have you introduce your own podcast too.
Yeah. So my podcast is called The Fabulous Cancer Podcast. And before I wanted to kind of focus on like childhood cancer survivors and like young adults with cancer. But now I'm like, I just want to talk to anybody and have as many stories as I can to learn as much as possible. So yeah, it's I'm excited to talk to you. We've been in contact for like, I think almost a year or a little bit shorter.
I think so. And we've both been pretty active on like a War on Cancer app. And, you know, obviously our missions and our, you know, ways of helping people bring their stories to light are just so aligned.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And I love to, like, even just this week, like you posted about a friend, you know, launching her podcast, and you were so supportive. And I just think that that kind of goes to show like the type of people that you and I are. Like, we really want to empower others to share their stories and even start their own podcast. So we're just very, very like, pro podcast people, I guess you could say.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree, because I feel like it's important to like support each other as much as possible, and also to have, you know, everyone's got their own story. So I think it's important that people have, share their own story and have as many people on their podcast as possible.
Yes, yes. Okay, so maybe tell me a little bit about, you know, just you in general. Like, obviously I can detect an accent. So maybe just tell me a little bit about, you know, you, where you're from, and just, you know, maybe one fun fact that people don't even know or something.
Yeah. My name is Kaya. I'm actually from the Netherlands. I had cancer when I was 10 and 11 years old. Wow. And it was in my hip, and I got a prosthetic hip due to cancer. And I'm sorry, what did you ask me? I got distracted.
If you had a fun fact, I know like you enjoy fashion and other things, and you're in Paris, I think, right now too, right?
Oh yeah, yes. Yes, definitely. Yes, I really like fashion and I really enjoy gaming.
Oh, awesome. So yes, you have quite the multitude of talents. So I love that.
Thank you.
And then for your listeners that may not know me, you know, my name is Tina Conrad, and I started DJ Breast Cancer a little over a year and a half ago. And I was diagnosed in 2013 at the age of 37. So also, you know, pretty young with breast cancer. And my mom is a 2-time survivor of breast cancer, also diagnosed fairly young too. So she was 46 and then had a re-diagnosis in when she was 50 or 49, actually. So breast cancer has definitely been in my family. I almost feel like the last 20 years have been like really in some way touched by breast cancer. And it was just really motivated me to share my story and to shine a light on things, you know, revolving around breast cancer. And it's really evolved into just all kinds of cancer.
Yeah, I know what you mean. In my family, cancer run as well, but I have a lot of different types of cancer running in my family. Like, my uncle got like throat cancer. My other, my cousin had breast cancer. She survived that, but then her mom got like ovarian cancer that spread out and she eventually passed away. And then my other aunt had, ovarian cancer. So yeah, it's weird because like it runs in my family, but it's not. My mom actually did a test to see whether or not it's like in my DNA or something, or in our DNA, and it's not, thank God. But yeah, it's weird how it's like, you know, like runs in your family like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And my mom's sister also, she passed from colon cancer. So, you know, it's hard to understand, you know, and I took a test too, and there's nothing currently showing that they, you know, any gene that they know as of today that, you know, would contribute to my cancer. But I just find it really interesting, or, you know, surprising, I guess, that two people so young, you know, would get that. So
yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm just very, always trying to push research and science, and like, you know, I'm very vocal about, you know, the company I work for supports the Vera Bradley Foundation, which is very much breast cancer research, but many of the findings go to help, you know, all kinds of cancer. And they do a lot of clinical trials and a lot of research. And I'm just really passionate about, you know, trials and more research and more findings, because I just think we're on the tip of the iceberg in terms of a lot of the genomics and things that are happening.
Yeah. And that's really good. I feel the same. Like, I have checkups now too, even though I'm clean from cancer for like 14 years. But now it's to see whether or not chemo is going to like do damage to my body. And it's not like, it's kind of for me in the research, but it's mostly for scientific research and for future children who might have cancer now. So it's really interesting that you're into that. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't love science growing up, but now I have a more newfound, I don't know, maybe it's just because it's science with purpose, you know, so to me, yeah. They're much more, you know, it's important versus like learning in school. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the most boring stuff. I'd rather be designing things, because I too loved fashion design growing up as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I think you told me before. That's really cool.
I actually went to like in Chicago to like a 3-week program and did fashion design, and that's where I thought I wanted to go, but I just didn't really fit into the art world scene, so kind of went more like fashion business in that regard. But yeah, it was definitely still a passion of mine. I'll have to share on my Instagram some of my early artwork so you can see.
That'd be really cool. And and I get what you're saying though, because like I did fashion. I mean, I've been doing fashion for like 5 years now. And like I graduated from like a fashion course in 2017. And that's kind of where I was kind of lost, because I felt like, okay, I want to do fashion, but I also want to do something that has purpose. And then I actually started a podcast, and now I'm like getting more into sustainable fashion, which is like I love sustainable fashion, so I've really been interested in doing that more. And I understand if you feel like you don't fit in the art world, but you will find eventually a world even in art where you can fit in.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like that is my podcast actually, because it is so much creative energy too, you know, but again too, it's a purpose, you know, and it feels me, and it's, you know, like myself, you know, being put out there. So
yeah,
let's switch gears just a little bit and talk about like our specific diagnoses. So talk to me about, you know, you were so young, you know, 10 to 11 years old. Talk to me what it was like, you know, what your parents experienced, you know, and how it's been for you, you know, going forward too, just in terms of such an early diagnosis.
Yeah. So, it was in like September 2005 where, I had a diagnose, and then in early October, they told me that they wanted to do a biopsy, which was like on October 3rd. And then, which was on a Friday, and then on Monday they did the biopsy. And a week later, on my 11th birthday, I actually got the diagnose. And they first diagnosed me with, well, not first, they secondly diagnosed me with not having cancer. Because first they said that I had bone cancer, and then they did the biopsy, and then they said, you don't have cancer. And then I actually broke my hip in bed that night. From my birthday to the next night. Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. And I was in the hospital for like 6 weeks before after 6 weeks, they did an x-ray picture. Mm-hmm. And they found out that the bone didn't develop in any way, because they thought, you know, if you're bone breaks, then and I would be in bed, and the blood would come together, and then bone would develop, but that didn't happen. So after 6 weeks, they did another surgery, and that's actually when they did find the cancer. So it was a really chaotic start. And to be honest, for my parents, I talk to them now about it, but I really didn't really think about like how they experienced it at all. You know, like I didn't even think about it because it was like almost just natural that they were there for me. So it's actually only that I think about it now. I'm like, oh wait, they were involved too, you know? So yeah, it's crazy. And then they did the surgery, and they filled, the first surgery was where they filled my hip with like kind of cement and like screws. Mm-hmm. So my hip was kind of like an IKEA package. and then they gave me like 5 chemos, and then they decide that they were going to give me a prosthetic hip. And then I got another 12 chemos. So, and then after that, I went to a rehabilitation center because I was in a wheelchair. So I learned how to walk and bike and swim within like 4 months. And that was my cancer journey, basically.
Wow. Very crazy. Hmm. And obviously to like break your hip, like that's just not normal. So like clearly, you know, it was a response to everything happening, you know, to your body.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and that was the crazy thing. Like even those 6 weeks, I'm like, why didn't you do, like, how couldn't you do another scan or something? And like, that's what I'm dealing with now is like, wow. Like I mean, apparently the cancer did kind of spread, but I'm just very lucky that I didn't become terminal, you know, yeah. Like nothing happened to that point. So I don't know how, like my doctor told me, like, you know, you're just very lucky. Mm-hmm. And also because I never relapsed. So that's like, wow, it's pretty crazy, I think. But it's a weird reality kind of.
Yeah. Well, in my case, for my diagnosis, I had been doing pretty much, you know, monthly breast exams. My mom had always experienced a lump. So whenever she had cancer, you know, it was a lump that she felt, and then, you know, led down the path of, you know, mammograms, biopsies, all that sort of stuff. But in my case, like the center, the nipple had actually like sunken in. And for whatever reason in my head, I just thought like, I don't know, I'm getting old, you know, whatever random excuses, like my brain was, you know, trying to lead myself to believe. And, you know, I just didn't really like put it all together. And then a girl at work had like a really scary kind of, you know, health incident, not breast cancer related, but just a healthy, you know, healthy person that all of a sudden then was like, you know, it was really scary. And so it kind of made me take inventory of like, you know, what was happening in my life. And so I went in and I just said, you know, hey, this has been going on for, at this point in time, probably a couple months, you know, and, you know, just want to see, is this normal, whatever. But I had mammogram baselines, like at the age of 30 and 33 because of my mom, you know, having it so young. So they wanted to get me in and get a mammogram like right away. And then they called me back for another mammogram. And then that led to like an ultrasound, and they were like spending so much time on like my underarm, like my armpit, and like just with the experience I had with my mom, I knew that that meant lymph nodes, you know? So I was just like, but no one would talk to me, you know, like I get that, you know, people can't read certain things or can't share certain results at, you know, points in time, but it was really tough to be there, you know, all by myself. My husband was there. He just couldn't come into this room, you know? So it was just really scary. And, you know, ultimately, I got paired up then with a breast surgeon, and then they ended up doing like a biopsy, but it ended up being almost like a lumpectomy. And then when I woke up, the first thing she said to me was, you need to get your mom's records. And so it was really, you know, just humbling, you know, so from that point forward, it was pretty real. And then, you know, even that was to your point, like you can remember the days, like that was on a Thursday. I didn't go to work on a Friday. On a Monday, I went back to work, and ultimately they called me at work and said, it is in fact you know, breast cancer. Like, they had basically told me we're fairly certain it is, but they had to like get lab results. But, you know, you just never forget those words, you know, you have cancer. It's just, it's very, very hard to hear. And even all the guests that I'm sure you've had, I've had, you know, it's a very, you know, hard thing to hear, no matter where you are in life, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's so surreal. It's like you're put in like such a different reality, like in a second. And it's, yes. It's crazy, but it's also terrifying to hear like, okay, we need your mom's records.
Yeah. And it was so black and white, you know, and I'm not naive, you know, so like, I just was like, okay, you know, okay. And I spent the whole weekend basically calling the people that I really loved, you know, to just say like, hey, I really think that this is likely going to be breast cancer. You know what I mean? Just so that I kind of was prepping. I was prepping them, but I was also prepping myself, I think mentally, for the fact, you know, and it was the same people. I wouldn't have a hard time if everything came back for some reason, miraculously negative, you know, I wouldn't have a hard time untelling them, you know, and just saying like something. But it truly is like this hinge point, this like moment, like, cause it's all your life up to that point is pre-cancer. And then all your life after that is post-cancer, you know, and it's just, it's really such a dramatic time, you know, in a person's life.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing, like when I was waiting for my diagnosis, I mean, we were at the hospital and we were just waiting at the orthopedic doctor, and I'm like, well, I don't know what this means, but you know, after, you know, it's probably not much, and you know, I'm gonna be fine. And I mean, cancer didn't even cross my mind at all. Like, that just doesn't happen, you know. Like, that's like, it's like, that's, I don't even think about that. And then, I mean, now I'm like, yeah, my parents were pretty nervous, you know, like, and I was so relaxed. I was like, okay, well, we're just going to go to this stupid doctor and he's just going to say something. And then I go home and continue my life, you know, it's, but I'm like, wow, that was so intense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So would love to know, you know, years later, like, what inspired you to start a podcast? And are there a lot of other European podcasters that you're aware of, or have you, you know, kind of met people along the way? Would just love to know your inspiration and like your, you know, your podcast journey, I guess you can say.
Sure. So I've been wanting to help people, like dealing with cancer or life after cancer for like super long time, but I have no idea how. And I really wanted to do it like on like a broad spectrum. But again, I was like, you know, I can start a YouTube channel and talk about my life. But I thought it was too personal to just talk about, you know, talking about cancer is like, it's really like my life, you know. So it's, I was like, okay, no, I'm not gonna do that just yet. And then I went to a, and also because I really felt like I went to a few, childhood cancer survivor meetups, and it was very dramatic. Like, it was very pitiful and sad, and oh, we had cancer and all this stuff. And I'm like, I that was my view of that, you know. And that's the problem, like, that's mostly the view of a lot of people. Like, that's what people don't want to talk about, cancer. And I was like, okay, but am I going to be able to handle the fact that people are going to be like that, you know? And I'm like, I don't think I can handle that. So I still studied fashion. I still had no idea how to make an outlet for this or how to even start. And then I went to, I joined an organization called Youth Cancer Europe, which is basically a cancer organization for childhood cancer survivors or patients, no, for childhood cancer survivors and young adults with cancer or young adults, cancer survivors. And that's where I met a friend of mine, and he said at some point, you should start a podcast. And he's a really good friend of mine now, and I'm like, oh my god, that's literally the answer to start my, you know, start my outlet and talk to people, because this way I can talk to people and share their story, because I didn't just want to make it about me, you know. Like, I mean, I have my story, but that's not everything. And I met, like, I'm friends with pretty much, there were like 30 plus people from all different countries in Europe. And I got like so many friends now from all around Europe who are cancer, either patients or survivors. And that's really where I was like, wow. And then I interviewed a lot of people from them. Then I always loved the language, the English language. I mean, I'm from the Netherlands, but I don't really like the Dutch language and it's very limited. So I was like, okay, I want to do it in English. I want to reach as many people as possible and learn and yeah, and just share as many stories as I can in different languages or well, in English. And that's basically how I started. So I just interviewed my friends. I followed Nicole. She's an oncology nutritionist. So I'm like, okay, we need to talk about, you know, that sugar doesn't feed cancer and all this stuff. You know, we need to get that myth out of the way. So it's more also as well about education and everything. And that's how I started, basically.
Oh, I love that. And I love just the whole community, tribe, you know, whatever you want to call it, like just this, you know, group that you've kind of now established. I love that because I feel the same way too. Like Instagram really started me on this path of just really meeting people who were like me. Because I too had gone to some meetups and I met some amazing women. I really did. I'm still friends actually with a couple of them. But they were at kind of different points in their life. I was really in like a, you know, like a high intensity career job. Mm-hmm. And to try to, you know, relate to people who weren't like really super into their, you know, careers, it was kind of difficult. So I ended up finding, you know, younger people, people with careers, you know, just a different variety of people on online, you know, than I had been able to find just, you know, at my local hospital with these meetups, you know. And yeah, some of the meetups too were like, you know, during the day, you know, like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, well, that doesn't do me any good, when I'm working, you know. So yeah. So it was really difficult. So I think it, you know, just, you know, made me more hungry, you know, to meet other people that were like me. Cause, and then I think it was that feeling that I had my mom always to listen to me and I knew kind of the roadmap of what breast cancer looks like. So I went into it with some kind of loose roadmap, you know, and I understood what was kind of going to happen, but then there were so many others being diagnosed for the first time. And I was just like, I can't imagine going on this journey and not knowing anything and feeling so alone and not having a person, you know, to kind of like help guide them through. Yeah. And there's support, you know, in all kinds of ways, you know, friends and nurses and, you know, nurse navigators, all kinds of things. I'm not trying to say that there's not, but just to, sometimes when you talk to someone who's been on a path similar to yours, even if not every, you know, instant is the same, you just have this like sense of camaraderie and it just helps you feel better because like you just know that there's someone out there like you.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I agree with that. And ever since Youth Cancer Europe, like that's where I met, you know, Fabian Bolin from War on Cancer and like, you know, so many other people. And it's like, no one was in some kind of pity, like, oh, we had cancer, you know. And I talked also from people there who dealt with that or they went to support groups and it was not even necessarily dramatic, but like you said, like, you know, not the same age range. They're in different type of, how do you say, aspects of their life. Like, you know, maybe they just, they're just done with working and now they're like on, oh God, what's the name? I'm sorry, I'm like blanking out. I don't know the word in English. I know the word in English. It's like where you're like done with work and you
retire.
Yes, retire. Thank you. you know, people who retire and everything, and you're like, yeah, but I need people to connect, you know, and who live the same age as me and who are the same age as me. And yeah, so that's really very interesting that you've been basically dealing with the same thing as me.
Yeah. And I even read like, you know, on your website and stuff, like Your main goal was to share your stories and others in order for people to feel heard, understood, helped, and less alone. And I can just relate to that on so many levels because that was truly like my mission too. You know, I wanted to be the girlfriend's guide to people going through breast cancer. And again, just like holding their hands and, you know, when people are going through chemo, sometimes too, you know, they can't read books. It's like hard to read and focus, but like listening to a podcast is an easy, digestible way to like hear a story and feel not alone. And I've often been in like a car driving, you know, late at night or when the weather's been bad. And it's something about like hearing another person's voice, like through a podcast is just really, really soothing. And yeah. I think that that's such a great avenue to touch people and to reach people. And, you know, I don't have to be on, I could still have my life and do my things, but people can hear my message at any time of day in any country of the world. And I just think that that's really a powerful thing.
Yeah. I was literally just going to say that, like there can be people who are either just diagnosed or halfway in the treatment or just done with, you know, just finished cancer treatment, be like, they can sleep at like 4 in the morning and, you know, you can't just call someone. So it's really good to actually have the podcast because then people can be just like, okay, you know, I know this, this podcast, I can listen to this episode and being heard and understood and like, oh my God, I've been dealing with this and this is how I can deal with it this way because that's how these people have dealt with it. So that's so incredibly powerful because that's why I was stuck with like, how am I gonna share my story? Because I would love to do volunteering work in a hospital. You know, we have a hospital called Princess Maxima, which is the biggest oncology, childhood oncology hospital in Europe. And I would love to do volunteering work, but I mean, it's so limited, you know, and usually those children obviously have their parents, blah, blah, blah. And here I'm just like, I can share my story and other people's story and people are being helped, you know? So it's very powerful.
It is. I love that. So would love to know, like, maybe what's one of the most amazing or something like a benefit from your podcast that you never kind of originally imagined. Has there been any like additional blessings or amazing things just because of the podcast?
Yes, a lot. Like, because there's like this cancer connection with like everybody, you know, like I feel like I know you since I was like young, even though this is the first time we're talking, you know, or like, oh, I'm going to talk to Tina, you know, and it's like, this is the first time we're talking. And this is what I have with so many people. So pretty much with all my guests or I mean, guests, yeah, people I talk to on the podcast. And the thing is like, I can apply that to people who never dealt with cancer. So therefore I'm more social.
I love that.
Yeah. And before I was like quite shy. I'm like, oh my God, how do I talk to people? And now I'm like, hey, how are you? You know, so that's very good. And like, also just the people, just a connection. Like I didn't think I was just like, okay, I want to share as many stories as I can and help as many people as I can. And I really didn't expect any friendship or anything from it actually. And like you and Tammy, and I have a friend who's also called, she's called Kaya Lifa. And so she has the same name as me and we're like best friends now. And it's like, wow, that is insane, you know, like I really didn't expect any of that. So yeah, it's really incredible.
I love that. For me, it's been like seeing people almost like as they share their stories, it's almost like their load becomes lighter, like they become freer, and just being part of almost like this miracle, like in watching this transformation happen. And you know, I realize like what a blessing like this gift is to share this podcast with people. And to your point, like it is all about connection and meeting people. But just watching them, you know, transform literally sometimes like right in front of your eyes is truly such an amazing thing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I agree because people are so passionate about what they have been through because, you know, sometimes people don't listen, you know, and like, for example, I did an interview and the woman was talking about like the medical aspect where the medical staff doesn't listen, even though you know what you're dealing with. And like, I remember she's talking so passionately about it, and like, so I feel like, yes, you know, now we're really helping somebody, because there are people out there who are dealing with the same thing, you know. And when I had a misdiagnosis of not having cancer, I felt like I had cancer, and I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody because, you know, I was 11 years old, so who's going to believe an 11-year-old if I have cancer? So it's very incredible to see that as well. Like, okay, you know, now they have, you know, patients and survivors and loved ones have a platform to share their story. And that's very, very empowering.
Yes. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, would just love to know, you're so passionate about life after cancer, and you know, you are, you know, 14 years now out from cancer. I myself am 7, you know, and I take each of those years, you know, so like with such amazing gratitude, you know, each and every day. And I know gratitude just really rings to you too. And this whole, you know, positivity. And, you know, I love, there was a quote from you that you posted pretty recently, but you said the only way to feel optimistic and positive is by practicing appreciation, positivity, and gratitude daily. And I even loved your word daily, because I do think sometimes we just think we can do it, you know, whenever, but it is this like mindfulness that we do every day that truly, you know, makes us appreciate so much more. Even in these crazy COVID times, even in everything going on in the world, you know, just being grateful for what you have is truly a gift, you know, in my mind.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's true, because I feel like, you know, studying fashion, I really had some kind of bad mindset about like wanting to become really famous and stuff. And I felt really down for not achieving fast success in a way, even though mm-hmm. I didn't do much to do that. And I'm really comparing my life to like, okay, why am I not feeling good? And why am I, you know, even though I survived cancer, you know, and it's the same. I felt like when life's ever, sorry, I'm like all over the place. When life after cancer started, when I was like a teenager, I became depressed and suicidal. But that was mainly because I was becoming a teenager. And I fixed myself from that because I practiced that. I practiced being appreciated or appreciating things and being grateful and really liking the small things in my life. And that's mm-hmm. really how I basically cured myself. And that's really strange, because of course you can sit there and say, well, how are you suicidal if you survive cancer? And I kind of compare that to like, it really doesn't matter what you have been through or what you have succeeded in life. Like, you always need to go back to the positivity and practice that in order to, you know, be either happy or to be even remotely feeling good about yourself or your life. And that's where that really comes from. It's like, that's why you always have to practice it regardless. You know, a lot of people, let's say, I'm sure there are other cancer survivors who are suicidal, or famous celebrities who are very financially wealthy and who have fame, and we think, well, they have everything, and you know, they end their own life, and we can sit there and say, well, how? Because, you know, we think that would make them happy. But that's what something I feel like is so important to, like, okay, but you always have to go back to, regardless of what you've achieved, you always just need to practice the positivity, you know, regardless mm-hmm. of your situation. So that's really, sorry, I've been talking so much about this, but that's really where that comes from. It's like, you can achieve really big, incredible stuff, like even surviving yourself, and you still need to always look on the bright side, I think. And that's yeah. important.
No, 100%. I love it. It's so beautiful. And I love how passionate you are about this subject too. I mean, I know myself, you know, I've struggled with, you know, demons too. And I think I come off obviously being a very positive person. And I would say I'm actually a very positive and optimistic person, but that doesn't mean you can't go through a dark season. And that doesn't mean you can't have a bad situation. And, you know, even in my case, I felt like cancer did some things to my work confidence, maybe not me myself, you know, just who I am as a person, but in a workplace setting, it did do things that kind of lessened my confidence at work. Mm-hmm. And I found myself, you know, just in a very bad, you know, work situation with someone who just, you know, was not good for me and my health, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I think you can find yourself very much down. And so it took some time and, you know, I feel like I'm, it's hard to explain, but I'm like 1 million times happier now. Like, and I honestly, in my case, I turned to my faith and I prayed and I said, you know, God, I don't know what plans you have for me. Like, am I supposed to stay here? Am I supposed to go? I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do, but I'm just going to listen and I'm just going to be, you know, and so it was kind of that faith that helped me through some of those turbulent times. And to your point, like just being grateful for what I had in the moment, you know, and it might have been a sunset. It might have just been the fact that I could put one foot in front of the other. You know, it could be little things, because in that season it can be pretty hard. And it's those practices, to your point, that have helped me now later in life, you know, to just kind of see through some of it, you know, and to keep going, you know, and to keep shining and to keep doing what I feel is my purpose, you know, here.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really interesting you say that, because I felt the same when I was depressed. I'm like, I was depressed for like months and like suicidal and stuff. And I'm like, okay, look, I'm not going to kill myself because I just survived cancer. That'd be really awful for my parents. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, then the suicide thoughts went away and then I was depressed. And then I'm like, okay, you know what? Even if I feel depressed, I'm not gonna think like this for the rest of my life, but so I'm just gonna start appreciating tiny little things, like for me, like being here, being okay, being healthy. I walk with a cane, so it was very hard for me to accept that, especially my teenage years. And that was also like a thing of like, okay, you know, how am I gonna deal with this? And that's also where I'm like, okay, you know what? I can walk. I was in a wheelchair. I don't have chemo, blah, blah, blah. And just really tiny things, or like I can breathe. Even if I felt like, oh my God, I'm still depressed and I don't see a point of anything, like not even suicidal, but like just being depressed. It's like just acknowledge that and kind of like accept that. But then beside that, even regardless of what you're thinking or feeling, just appreciate like, okay, yes, but you know what? I have flowers in my garden or something. And mm-hmm. I have an incredible family or something who support me. Yeah. And that's really like, that's pretty much the reason why I am the way I am now.
And I even had an experience and I went in and talked to my doctor and just said like, hey, I'm so sad. Like, I am so sad. You know what I mean? And she prescribed medication for me. And then actually everything just kind of changed. You know, so I do, you know, want to recommend to people to have a conversation with your doctor too.
Oh,
talk,
yes.
Talk to whoever you can, you know, like talking about things makes things, it's almost like it takes that energy off of your shoulders, that weight off your shoulders, and it like disperses it elsewhere. So it is so important to, you know, just have these conversations, because I'll tell you, Kaya, like you're not the first person that I know that's, you know, gone through depression after cancer. I think it is a really, really real thing. And it often doesn't get spoken of. It's almost more taboo than speaking of cancer and, you know, many other subjects.
Definitely. And I 100% agree. Like, I should have talked to someone. I don't know how I managed to fix myself, kind of. But later I would tell people. But this was also, you know, I feel like right now, and especially with like the podcast that you and me have, like other people's, like mental health is being talked about. You know, it's not a stigma mm-hmm. anymore. It's not a taboo anymore. It's like if you, it's I mean, of course, it's still difficult, but it's more easier to say, like, okay, yeah, I'm depressed and I see a therapist and stuff. And that's what I would recommend as well. It's like, always talk to someone, you know, always, if possible, even if you feel like it's, you know, you're not a burden, you're not a burden of anything, you know, just talk to someone. And that's very important.
It is. It is 100%. So definitely, yeah. Any other, you know, themes of life after cancer, you know, for you growing up? I loved you posted kind of recently about, you know, you were going in for some scans or some, you know, testing afterwards, but you were like wearing something amazing, you know, for your testing. And so it was just kind of this like appreciation that this is a big moment, but like, honoring it in a different way and flipping the script and saying like, you know, this might be scary, but I'm going to come in and I'm going to look amazing and I'm going to be me and I'm, you know, all of this, but would just love to know like, how has it changed some of your outlook just on life and everything going on?
Yeah, well, life after cancer was like so incredibly difficult. Like I said, also because I became a teenager and because I walk with a cane since 12 years old. And actually, since I went to Youth Cancer Europe, and since I met so many people, and people like you, you know, like it's very inspiring and helpful to actually feel like, okay, I can kind of accept and love my body and stuff. And the thing with the dress is like, my doctor is probably not going to be able to work here for like another 2 years or something. So I'm like, okay, I need to show him that I'm doing really incredible because I'm doing really incredible. And not just that, also because I'm just like very proud of how far I have come so far and my body, you know, like usually I would wear oversized clothes and just hide everything. And I'm like, I purchased this dress like with my boyfriend about 2 months ago in Paris. And I'm like, oh my God, this dress looks like something my queen would wear, you know? But I'm like, no, you know, I need to wear this because I love it. And there's no other time that I'm going to be able to wear it. And also because I'm trying to learn more to get out of my comfort zone and stuff with mm-hmm. like wearing the stuff that I want to. So then I'm like, you know what, this is, and also because I really needed a kind of an encouragement because I wanted to ask my doctor a lot of questions about like the misdiagnosis and everything, which I was managed to ask him, but also to be like, okay, I need something that makes me feel empowered on a day where I feel like, why did I had cancer in the first place, you know? So it's also like really an empowerment, like piece of garment. And if it wasn't a garment, it would be like a piece of jewelry or anything like that. So it's really, yeah, helped me a lot to wear that on my just a regular checkup.
I love it. And it was so beautiful. So we'll have to share it. You know, I'll definitely share it on my page too, that dress. You just look stunning. And I do think, you know, obviously confidence comes from within, but having the right accessory or the right outfit, it can just like make you shine. You know, like it is kind of this, you know, I feel good today and, you know, I'm going to let the world see. And so I love that. I love how you went in there rocking that dress and it had such a meaning to it too, even like how you came to get it and, you know, a meaning of what you wanted to accomplish by going in there.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I 100% agree because it's like, you're not going to feel very nice if you're, I mean, obviously it's comfortable to wear like a really big hoodie and stuff, but it's nice to wear something to be like, okay, I'm going to empower myself because I don't feel empowered right now, you know? And, mm-hmm. and that's very important. So yeah, I 100% agree with you.
I love that. Yeah. Life after cancer is, you know, really, it's different. I think, and it's maybe not what I expected either, you know, not that I would have expected every day to be sunshine and roses. But it's just, I don't know. I think it's just life too. You know, some days are good and some days are difficult, you know, and I do think you look through the world with a little bit different lens, you know, after going through cancer. But it doesn't mean that some of those same problems don't still exist. You know what I mean? It's still, I guess that's the life and the life after cancer part.
Yeah, definitely. And the awful thing as well is like, there's no one there who's there to inform you about that. You know, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. you have cancer. Okay, you go through treatment. And then it's like, okay, good luck. And there's no therapist or psychologist or educational kind of information thing like, okay, you know, you might not have the same energy level. This is changing. You might be completely traumatized and might need therapy. That's also the awful part, is that there's no help or support for that. You know, there's no one else who's like dealing or talking about that. And that's what I learned, especially this year, because my friends, they survived cancer when they were 26. And they were talking like, oh yeah, you know, I really wanted to get back to life, but I didn't have energy level and I didn't know where to start. And everything was very complicated. I'm like, oh, so that's normal, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know other people were dealing with that. So it's kind of chaotic, but I feel like now, you know, with your podcast and what I do, it's like there's a lot of information right now about what people can do and how to start, you know, with life after cancer.
Yeah. And sometimes too, it's even difficult for me to remember that moment, like right after cancer, but I do remember myself being marveled at like how far I would come, but in the moment you didn't feel like you'd come far, if that makes sense. Like you kind of needed more time and perspective so that when you look back, you're like, wow, I can raise my arm this far now. Like I can do this now, you know, and you know, 3 months ago I couldn't, or 6 months ago I couldn't, you know, and I have a lot more energy than I did even, you know, 6 weeks ago, you know, and maybe I can't run a mile again, but I can do this, you know, and I can take one more lap, you know, around my neighborhood or whatever it might be. Like it's sometimes it is just like really celebrating those little small wins, because when you're in the moment, like you just feel like, oh, but I'm not back to doing what I used to do. Hmm. But you have to kind of give yourself that grace of like, yes, but I am also doing this and look how far I've come, you know? So it's just kind of celebrating those tiny wins.
Absolutely. And that's really going to encourage yourself as well. Like, if you just celebrate, because that's a difficult thing for me to accept. Like before I had cancer, I was very active. I was running around all the time. I was climbing in trees and everything. And now I'm not even allowed to fall because I don't know, the screw from my hip can dislock or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh my God, like what am I gonna do that's like gonna help me, or that's gonna make me feel like I'm achieving something? And I really felt like I wasn't achieving anything for a long time, because I felt like I was stuck, even though I did college and I graduated from college and everything, and I still felt like I was not achieving anything. But I think like we're also like way too hard on ourselves, you know. And also if you're dealing with things like you couldn't do before cancer, there's always things you can do after cancer that you felt like you would never even try. Like, maybe I can't do team sports, so I'm not allowed to do like, soccer and football and all that kind of stuff, but I'm allowed to do, climbing, and I love climbing, and it's like, wow, I never even tried to do anything like that. So it's very nice to challenge yourself in like a different way.
I love that. Yeah. Like, and being open to the challenge. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love too, like you've mentioned a couple times, like maybe you weren't, you know, in your career where you wanted to be, or maybe you weren't as, you know, far here or far there. And it was really interesting because I listened to a podcast when I was in the midst of like recording my first season, and it was a podcast about recording a podcast, and it was really interesting because they talked about like engagement and like numbers and all that. And I love all that because I'm very like analytical with my job and very much into like financials and numbers and stuff. But they talked about something that almost gave me such freedom from the very get-go of my podcast. And it was just about like the depth of the engagement that you're making. And, you know, like maybe don't worry so much about like the numbers or this, but how deep you're touching the people that you're touching. And it really just, you know, kind of spun the whole conversation into a totally different way, you know, because I used to think like, oh, I have this many followers, or I have this, you know, and I need this many more, and I need, you know, I'm going to feel like I'm successful when I'm here or when I'm there. And it kind of freed me from that constant rat race or the constant, you know, craziness, and just allowed me to be, and made me more so focus on like, you know, having real conversations. You know, sometimes they're just DMs with people, but truly talking to people, and just getting to know people, you know, and freeing me of the rest.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree with that, you know, like, before I was like, oh my God, okay, I want to achieve so much and do this and this and reach this many followers before I'm happy and stuff. Now I'm like, oh my God, I have like, when I just started, I was like, okay, I have like 2 followers, you know, I'm like so excited. I'm like, oh my God, someone cares, you know, like I'm just so hyped about that. And it's like, oh my God, wait, can you still hear me?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, sorry, there's an error. It's okay. And I'm just like so excited about that, you know, and I'm like, this is really incredible, because it really takes off the pressure for yourself, because it, like I said before, and what you said before, is like, sorry, you really live in the here and now and really appreciate the moment and all the things you have, you know, without feeling pressured of like, okay, I have to achieve this in order to be happy. And the thing is, like, even if you have achieved these things, then you might still not be happy,
right?
So that's why it's so important, again, to do, you know, the appreciation thing and the gratitude thing daily and feel positive daily, because you get back to the, okay, I'm good the way I am. I'm doing well. I'm achieving this, even little things, you know, and that's so important for your mental health, because I felt like the podcast for me is very, very important, but I'm not making like any money of it. And that's not the goal either. You know, it's not like, okay, eventually I'm going to make money on this. It's just for me to give people a platform and for myself an outlet to share their experience. And I felt like, oh my God, I didn't make any money from this or from anything last year. So I feel like I'm a failure. And I'm like, I have a cancer podcast with like 400 followers right now. You know, like, I think I'm actually doing pretty good for myself. And I have people, you know, when I post something that's my experience, I have people who respond to that in a very positive way. So I'm like, why am I complaining, you know? And that's that's like, you know, or like, maybe before I'd be like, oh my God, why don't I have like 4,000 followers after a month or something? So I'm like, oh my God, I have 1 like on a picture, you know? So that's, it's very nice. It's very nice.
It does start with the way we talk to ourselves. Like, I truly believe that that's, you know, so important. Well, you may know, but I ask every guest that comes on to DJ Breast Cancer what a Tina tip from them would be. So it could be a bit of advice. It could be someone, you know, in the midst of cancer. It could be someone, you know, going through, like, trying to figure out what life after cancer looks like. But, you know, what is some kind of advice you'd like to tell the listeners today?
I think I would have 2 types of advice. One is, if you are feeling like you don't have the right support system, you can always find a new one. Whether it's friends or family or a cancer survivor or cancer patient or cancer loved one group or something, if you feel like you don't fit in there, just find a new one. Because I really gave up the first time. I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to find people who have the same view, until I kept looking, and I did, you know, and now I'm talking to you and it's very lovely. And the second and, you know, with the group or with people you connect who just talk about things you're dealing with or you have dealt with, because you can really inspire each other. And the second one is basically what we talked about, which is Just be grateful for little things. Appreciate yourself and the things around you. And yeah, just practice positivity daily. And that's my advice.
I love that. I love that. And for me, I would just want to say my bit of advice just today on this Sunday as we're recording is really just finding your purpose, because I do feel like everything else just kind of falls in line if you're kind of aligned with what your true purpose is. And so that would just be my bit of advice. And it might take some time. It might take some trial and error to get there. And it might take a little bit of sweat and hard work too, you know, but
yeah,
I do feel like we're all intended, you know, to have a purpose. And so it's just kind of finding out, you know, what that is. And that doesn't mean you have to change jobs or change careers. It could be a hobby that you're doing. It could be, you know, a way that you're impacting or touching lives. It's different for every person, but I think just, you know, kind of digging into what that means for you on an individual basis is so important.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that's really nice. Thank you. I also had one question for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where does your, I don't think we talked about that. Where does your name DJ Breast Cancer come from?
Oh, yeah. I've been asked that actually a few times. So I had a few other names in mind, and I was actually with my husband and a real good friend. And we were actually at a bar, like getting, you know, drinks and dinner one night. And, my husband's like, no, that name does not sound good. Whatever name I had thought of, I think it was, I can't even remember now. Cancerville or something else. I can't remember. And he was just like, no. And then I was like, well, what ideas do you have? You know? And he was like, he just thought for like a minute, and then he was like, DJ Breast Cancer. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. Like I'm talking about breast cancer, and I'm kind of, you know, at the mic and, you know, seeing it through. So it really just, once he said it, it was like a light went off and it stuck. So that's kind of where it was. So yes, I have to credit my husband for that one.
That's incredible.
But I feel like it's kind of now like just my, you know, on-air personality as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's like, oh, DJ Breast Cancer. Oh, it's Tina. Yay. I like it.
Well, good. So I'd love to know, like, where can people find you, or where are you most active just in terms of social media?
On social media, I'm on Facebook and Instagram, which is just, you can just type in the fabulous Cancer Podcast, and you will find me.
Well, there you go. And people can find me on the same Instagram and Facebook at DJ Breast Cancer. And then we're both on War on Cancer app as well.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I know, which is actually an amazing platform too. And I think we both have interviewed Fabian. He's such an amazing, inspiring individual. Love him.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And like the work that he does, like with the app, is like really incredible.
I know. Talk about like inspiration and technology. I love it. Like, it's so amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really nice to connect, like, because I joined the app in like last year when it just came out on Android. And then I started the podcast, and then I met like you, and I met Tammy, and now it's very nice to see you guys on the app. I'm like, yes, you know, like it's, more people are joining. It's very nice.
Yes. It's such a great community. I love it.
Definitely.
Well, Kaya, thank you so much. It's been amazing. And I can't wait to like connect with you more in the future too. It's been so awesome hearing you and hearing your voice.
Yeah, same to you. And thanks for having me and talking to me. I really appreciate it. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Well, have an amazing day.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.